You had brothers and sisters?
I've had two brothers and two sisters. One brother's deceased, and my younger sister is deceased. I have a sister and a brother and one adopted brother.
A little bit about your childhood. Your first language, was it Seminole?
It was a combination of Seminole and bad grammar. My parents had gone through that period of educational experiences when they spoke the native language they were reprimanded, I mean physically, by teachers. And that was a common occurrence among the early day education of Indian children. And they remember that. They didn't want us to ever speak the language. But they always spoke, and we understood them perfectly. And all of my relatives spoke, and all of my play buddies, they spoke, and I couldn't help but learn. Now, I would speak, but I never spoke around my parents because they didn't ever want me to speak, so I never did.
So your parents did not want you to speak?
They didn't want to speak the language.
The Seminole language?
Right.
Why do you think that was?
Same reason I'm telling you. They just trying to protect us from, quote, white educational systems who reprimanded children brutally whenever they spoke our language.
They didn't want it to become nature to
they,
you.
They didn't want us
so
to.
So you would slip.
The fact is, my mother didn't learn until late in life that I could speak the language.
You kept it from her?
I kept it from her, yeah. And I just accidentally spoke to her. She always spoke to me in native language, even in old age. She spoke to me. Then one day I just responded to her, and she looked at me and said, "Did you talk?" I said, "Yeah." My brother Bill, we call him Junior. I said, "Yeah, Junior speaks too." "He does," you know. So we kept the language. We actually ended up with bad grammar. They tried to teach us what English they knew. So I had that difficulty in school, really trying to learn English in a proper way, because other students grew up with English. It was still a second language to us. English was.
When your parents talked to you in Seminole, you had to respond in English.
I did,
and
yeah.
Keep it from them.
Right.
And it really was their way of protecting you.
Right.
They didn't want you to be disciplined
right.
in school.
And we were respectful of their wishes. Let me tell you, in the 70s, I was on the council for the Seminoles and the band chief and some other things associated. Whenever someone would come down from Washington to explain a grant or a new program, people would stand up and say, "Punya diga stick, Kelly," which means to interpret for us. I kind of struggled a little bit, but I usually got through enough to understand what was going on.
Your first school, where did you go to school?
Prairie Valley, which was 3 miles west of Seminole. It was a small rural school. It's been consolidated since about 1965.
Was that what we would call a one-room schoolhouse, or was
no,
it a bigger?
No, it was, and it was a pretty good-sized yeah. school, yeah.
The first house you remember?
We had a pretty nice home. Actually, my grandfather had the benefit of having property that had oil on it. So he got oil leases. My mother tells me that he used to take care of several families at one time who were poor. It was during the Depression times that he would take care of several families. As long as they worked, as long as y'all work, you get to stay here and I'll give you a place to live and feed you. And that's what he did. But I don't know if oil just played out or whatever, but income started coming in. At one point in time, it was probably shortly before my mother married my dad. He had some funds left, and when he died, they divided among the children. My mother did probably the wisest thing of the children. She went and bought some property and bought a pretty nice home. So I grew up in a really nice home. I mean, it wasn't big, it wasn't brick or anything like that. It still had a wood stove, and you still had to pull water from the well and all that, you know. I mean, that's what it was in Oklahoma. That wasn't Indian way. That was the way of early Oklahoma.
For you, this would have been in the early 40s.
Right. And again, it was probably one of the nicer homes in the community that I grew up in. I guess later, though, after the war, my dad came back and tried farming, and we just couldn't make that go, so we moved in town, and that's when we got poor.
Your father served in the military?
Right,
in
World War II.
In World War II.
There were only maybe two or three men that I can recall in our community who did not go, but mostly for conditions which would have restricted them from being in. In fact, my dad had restriction from being in, but he kept going and harassing until he got in. Most of the men went to the military. Native people do that. A large percentage of Native people always go to the call of the government as it relates to war.
And I suppose that happened then. They went in when Pearl Harbor was bombed,
right, yeah.
And then there was that major
right,
influx.
Right.
Where did he end up, your father?
In Germany. He said that he ended up in Germany at the latter part when they were cleaning up. I used to sit around after they came back, and I must have been, what, 5 or 6. I would sit around camp in front of our home. They would build a little fire, and The men would sit around, just like in the movies, you know, and just sit around, and they spoke in our language, and they would just laugh and talk about their experiences in combat. I mean, they didn't talk bad about it. They just had the biggest laughs. I guess they were scared at the time, obviously, but right. Now they can talk about it and talk about their experiences and so forth. That was interesting to sit and listen to that.
Oh, yeah. It'd be great to have had recorded that.
Oh, yeah. We had no such thing, probably.
No. They were, of course, so proud to serve their country.
Oh, they always are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of your artwork reflects that spirit that we're talking about.
Yeah. We're raised that way. We were raised that way as a child. Let me go back just a little bit here. But when I first ran for the legislature in 1980, I went to this farmer's house and I knocked on his door. He came and had overalls on. And I said, "Mr. Burgess, I don't know if you remember me, but I'm Kelly Haney and I'm running for the legislature and I'd like to have your vote." He looked at me and called his wife, said, "Hey, Mama, come here." He said, "Young man out here wants his vote for him for the legislature." It's that young man used to steal a watermelon. So everything comes back. But he was right because, you know, we all were down at the church, and the church was completely different than they are today. We would go up the backside through the woods and hills, and just for the fun of it, he had this watermelon patch. So broad daylight, we hit the ground. We're just little bitty guys. We crawl up right and clip one off and roll it back just to see if he can get away with it. Well, apparently he was watching us. Another experience is my cousin who went to Vietnam, and when he got shot, what he did to stop the bleeding, he got some wet mud and just packed it down and tied it. Well, that's what we're taught. When we have injury, just put mud on it, let it absorb and tie it down. So he did what he was taught to do.
Yeah, and it worked out all right for him.
He says, "A little dirty, but he saved his life."